Hello, advanced listeners. We are in the month of April, and we're looking at an entertainment article called Hollywood Tunes into Influences. Here we're talking about social media influences, and yesterday we had a great conversation learning a lot about how these studios are doing that. And I'm so glad that you joined us again today for the second part of our article, and I had some great panelists on the show with me yesterday to talk about this topic. So joining me again are Tim.
Hi everyone, thanks for having me back again.
Thanks for coming back. Lois.
Hi, I'm glad to be here. This is a very interesting entertainment article.
Yeah, and Simon.
Hey everybody.
Great to have you here as well.
Oh, let's get into this article.
Yeah, no mucking around, right?
Yeah.
Well, I would like to know from each of you what you learned yesterday. Tim?
It was a very interesting part with knowing how NBC comedy, they would use social media to promote their new premiere, season 2 premiere, and how it actually worked. You know, it was... The ratings of the first episode of season 2 was higher than the last episode of season 1. So, yeah, it's just interesting to see them doing that.
Right, and how successful it was. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lois, how about yourself?
Well, I think I didn't realize how many different modes of social media people actually go on just to promote something and maybe promote it to their followers. And so I think, you know, with the younger generation, for sure, I'm thinking teens, young adults, maybe they're just saying to their friends, hey, did you see the clip on YouTube, or did you hear what so-and-so put out on Twitter, or let's go and see what that product's really like, or let's purchase it because they really like it and they demonstrated it.
Mm. Yeah, the influence is quite phenomenal. Simon?
For me, it was the statistic that we had yesterday. It told us that most consumers, actually 66%, trust online recommendations. And, of course, we discovered that the four of us are among that 66%.
Yes, we did. And it's interesting to see that Hollywood studios are using this way to build what we said is their brand awareness and buzz in a more intimate-like way. Fashion through this friend-like connection. Now, we've talked before, I think, on Advanced about how Facebook has changed a lot of the way people communicate with each other, that how already advertising was being done on Facebook before. Like, you would let your friend know a recommendation through Facebook. But now we're learning more about how companies are wanting to use social media stars, pay them to talk about their products in order to influence the followers that are listening to them. And we're going to learn a little bit more about how that's being done and how that risk that the Hollywood studios are taking is working out. For example, you just shared, Tim, how it worked for NBC's Superstore. How is it working in other areas? Let's find out as we go into the first column of today on page 29 of your Advance magazine, or if you have your electronic device, you can join us there as well.
Becoming the talk of the town. When in the employ of studios, their efforts can be as simple as tweeting about a film or more involved endeavors like the marketing push for Superstore. Entertainment companies declined to discuss how much they pay influencers, but several experts said their pay ranges from a few thousand dollars to several million. Some simply receive gift baskets instead of compensation. Risky and unknown. Over the last year or so, some entertainment companies have begun to cast influencers in their TV and film projects. The strategy is a bit of a gamble. It's a nascent business model, and questions remain about the effectiveness of using these personalities to boost a show's ratings or help open a movie. Just how much influence the influencers have is hard to measure. TV ratings and box office returns do not reveal what prompted a viewer to tune in. One of the reasons we go with influencers is because we can look at the likes, shares, comments around those videos, said Jared Goldsmith, Senior Vice President of Marketing Strategy and Digital at NBC. In terms of how it translates back directly to ratings or video views, it's not easy to quantify.
Well, listeners, Hollywood studios are turning to social media stars to promote their products. And on the first day, we saw that that was being done through whether it's talked about in a social media's video. They just mention the name of the TV show that's happening or that it's coming soon. But there are other ways that it can be done. In fact, there's a broad range of how these social media stars can promote products. Tim, what do we learn in this first paragraph?
It says when in the employ of studios, their efforts can be as simple as tweeting about a film. So tweeting, it's actually comes out from the social media Twitter, right? So it's tweeting something, is writing a message in a limited amount of words.
So they still have that limit?
Yes.
Okay. So the social media star just needs to tweet about this film, or what are some other ways, Simon, they're doing that?
They mentioned that campaign for the NBC series Superstore. And mm-hmm. So if you recall from yesterday, that involved these different influencers basically making videos where they mentioned this series.
Right. Okay. And, well, what about how much they're being paid, Lois? What do we learn about that?
Well, it says that entertainment companies decline to discuss how much they pay influencers.
But we hear from several experts, Simon.
Yeah, we get a range here. We hear that some of them get a few thousand dollars. Others, probably those with many, many, many friends, get several million. Some of them just get a gift basket. So maybe some fruit and cheese in exchange for their tweet.
Now, I know there are a lot of YouTube channels where they promote products. They're given the products to promote. Or now there seems to be a differentiation between, for instance, in makeup, since I watch that a lot, they show a differentiation between a social media star that gets products sent to them or they've actually bought them themselves in the promotion, in the way that they promote the product. For example, they'll say, this makeup company did not send these things to me in order to promote them. They make that clear. Now, of course, how do we prove that? Of course, we may not be able to do that, but they're trying to say that they're being more genuine, more authentic when it comes to that. So we see a various range of how they're being paid, but how did we come to be in this place where these influencers are starting to have more influence? How did they do that, Simon?
Well, as we've mentioned over the course of this article, advertisers are finding themselves in a more and more difficult situation because people really don't want to watch ads. And so they're looking for different ways to get around that problem and still get their message out. Now, the first paragraph of this second section on page 29, it actually tells us that what they are trying involves what they call a bit of a gamble. So it involves some risk. And I think the reason for that is often we assume as people, and business people also assume, that if they just sort of spend money on an advertisement, create an advertisement, and get it played, it will lead to increased sales. But that isn't actually true. There's a very famous example from the United States a few years ago, a deodorant called Old Spice created a really popular series of advertisements that basically went viral but didn't affect sales at all. Basically no effect on sales, even though millions of people were sort of clicking like and watching these ads and different things like that. And we see this problem reflected in this paragraph where they say it's a nascent business model, so a new business model, and questions remain about its effectiveness.
Right. Now, we had in the first day an example with NBC Superstore, but we haven't really seen too many other examples given within this article. So we're saying, well, because it's a new thing, we still need to see whether it's going to remain able to be done in the future as well, the effectiveness of it, the effectiveness of using these personalities to boost the show's ratings or help open a movie. But we do know that there is a move towards it to some extent. I know, for example, I'm not sure if our listeners are familiar with Pentatonic. They are an a cappella group. They have a strong social media following. They were put into the movie Pitch Perfect 2 due to their social media following. And in actual fact, because they were put into that movie, they were able to help it gross $288 million worldwide. So there is this move towards putting people into these this place of influence. Now, the problem with it, though, is it's hard to measure, right? It says how much influence the influence has is hard to measure. Why is it hard to measure, Tim?
It's hard to measure because there are so many factors to make a TV show or movie successful.
Right.
It could be like the story is really good or the main cast is really A-listed Hollywood stars. Or it could be this new business model we're talking about, having social media sensations included into their TV or film. So it's hard to say which factor caused the movie to be successful.
Right. For example, in Pitch Perfect 2, I didn't know Pentatonix was going to be in it. When they appeared, I did get excited, but I had not known that they were going to be in it. So I wasn't one of those people that had initially seen the drive that they did and then, oh, well, I'm going to watch it because they're in it. But have you ever had anything that you did watch because you knew somebody like a social media star was going to be in it?
I think I came across, but I don't know if I knew they were going to be in it. Some blogger or something that had a small role in a movie. They walked into a coffee shop and said, oh, they're doing their work here too, or something like that. But I'm like you. I don't know if they were, that I knew for sure they were going to be in it, but I looked for it maybe.
Right. Well, clearly it has some influence because in Pentatonix's case, it generated more than 250,000 engagements of the promotion of Pitch Perfect 2. So it does help. And one of the reasons we see it doing well is commented by Jared Goldsmith. He's a senior vice president of marketing strategy and digital at NBC. And what does he say, Simon?
Well, he basically says it's not easy to quantify. And I've taken sort of the end of the sentence there, but I think that's really the core of what he's saying. Basically, it's hard to get numbers on it.
Right, which is what you mentioned earlier, Tim. So let's look at our last column for today to find out some more information.
How many friends you have matters. What is clear is that these personalities aren't necessarily getting the work because of their acting chops, but often because of their internet followings. Our viewers look to these online personalities as their friends, said Adam Bonnet, executive vice president of original programming at Disney Channels Worldwide. These digital personalities are part of the fabric of the everyday lives of our audience. Yet as social media stars consider whether to take on gigs promoting movies and TV shows, there's an important consideration for both parties, the authenticity of a campaign. Fans are definitely aware when they're being baited with promotional posts, Zach King, a social media star who performs magic tricks, said. It has to be something that is natural and fits with the persona of the creator.
Well, listeners, we've been learning about social media stars and how they're helping Hollywood to promote their products. We've learned that this is a new business model, and so that it's been difficult to measure the outcome or measure the results. It's hard to quantify. And these social media stars are not necessarily great actors, Tim.
Right? Yes, that's right. I think like the Hollywood studios, they're using their influential powers instead of their actual acting chops.
Right. Okay. So it's their internet following that the Hollywood studios want,
yes.
Not necessarily how well they act. In fact, we hear from Eden Bonnet. What does he say, Simon?
He says their viewers look to the online personalities as their friends. And I think that's probably pretty important because, the way I think about this is basically like, companies have found a back door into your viewing habits.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if they try to advertise directly, you're sort of resistant to it. And so they're trying to find ways to sort of sneak in the side and get a mention in. In a way that you'll respond to. And so it matters because they're getting in by using this feeling you have of friendship with this interviewer. You know, you like this person's program, you like what they have to say. We get into questions later on in this section about how long that's going to last, right?
Right. Right. Well, it's interesting to see that he also says these digital personalities are part of the fabric of the everyday lives of our audience. Lois, what does it mean to be the fabric of something?
Well, we have that in vocabulary focus, Amanda, and it says the structure or parts, especially of a social unit or a building.
Do you watch social media every day?
No, not every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly notice what is trending, like Timothy mentioned, on Facebook. And then actually it helps me with my job sometimes here if I'm preparing for a program or we're looking at programs that might be of interest to our listeners. I see what's trending.
Right.
Like if I know that there's all of a sudden this maybe interest in a certain part of the world or something that a certain age group all wants to do now, I'll pick up on that.
Well, with regard to social media stars, are there any that you're following, Simon?
Yes, but they're embarrassing, so I don't want to get into it.
That's okay.
I just can't really think of any. But what I will say about it is the reason you follow channels or whatever is because they're really, I guess the word you would use is niche. Niche being a very small, very specific kind of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And so the special thing about these channels is if you're watching TV, you sort of have to watch the same programming you watch.
Right.
That everybody else is watching.
Mm-hmm.
If you find the right YouTube channel, you can find something, that really meets your interests very specifically. So maybe something from history, a period of history you like, or maybe one kind of camping gear you're interested in.
Yeah, I can relate to that because,
right?
Because we featured last year in 2016 in one of our magazines, Bear Grylls, I think that's how you say his name, from the UK. And all of a sudden I started getting into his YouTubes. And then I thought, oh, we're going to be doing these outdoor things, Michael and I, so we should see what Bear uses. And then my kids started watching him. And it was like, he's the authority on everything outside. And he's Mr. Outdoorsman. So, it's... Somebody mentions it. I think Gordon Jump, who used to work here, mentioned him. And then we keep going and going, and now I still look up stuff from him.
So this is why they're part of the fabric of your everyday life, because it's something that like you are actually personally interested in and want to do more about. And maybe there's nobody around you who has that same specific interest.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to feel like you're kind of part of this bigger community of people with this strange interest, you become part of the group, right? And that is why it's such a backdoor for advertisers to use. The thing, though, that those personalities have to be careful about is exactly what they get into in the next paragraph, and the keyword there is authenticity.
Right, yes. We see that as social media stars consider whether to take on gigs promoting movies and TVs, there is an important consideration for both parties, the authenticity of a campaign. And Simon, you mentioned earlier about, or off air, you mentioned about an example of how this backfired on someone before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, though, you know, if you're an avid watcher of YouTube, so you're a person who follows YouTube closely, there are tons of examples of this. Basically, like a person who has attracted a following for one thing. So, for example, maybe they're doing haul videos. Haul videos are where a person goes shopping, and then they show you everything they bought and tell you where they bought it and how much they bought for and things like that. So a person attracts a big following for haul videos, and then all of a sudden, they're trying to sort of draw your attention to camping gear. And it's not got anything to do with the interest or, you know, whatever, but they're clearly sort of getting some advertising. And then, of course, their followers kind of lose interest and feel betrayed, right? Because we felt like we had sort of this friendship with this person, and now they're just trying to sell us stuff. And so it's important to realize that all of this relationship is built on trust. And when you introduce advertising into it, you put that trust at risk. And so these people with their YouTube channels are at risk of becoming the same sort of thing as directed online advertising commercials on TV that people just don't trust and so they don't watch.
Yeah, it's interesting how that's happened. At first, people were excited about those type of videos, the haul videos, and you've got so many things. And then even when they were first being given products by other companies, they were excited about it. But then it became a dime a dozen. Right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing that. You're not unique anymore. You don't stand out anymore. And then people realize, just as we see in this next quote, fans are definitely aware when they're being baited with promotional posts.
Right. So. You know, there was a few, I'm thinking of TV here, maybe about 5 years back, a few TV programs I stopped watching because I just felt they were an advertisement. The way they placed items, what people were wearing, I felt it was less and less about the actual sitcom and it was more and more about the products they're trying to promote on the sitcom.
Right, so that authenticity can actually be a very fine line to walk, right? Mm-hmm. Here we use the word baited. Simon, what does baited mean?
Okay, so I'm from the countryside, you know, and so for me, bait basically means some food you put out to try to trap the animal. So it's something you put out there that is good to sort of bring someone in and then you catch them. And I think that's basically the same thing we're talking about here. They offer you some content in your area of interest, whether it be camping gear or video gaming or beautiful makeup palettes. And then, as soon as you're in, they try to sell you on the latest Disney movie.
Yes, and that's an interesting segue. And so people are deciding, is that authentic? Maybe not. And so then they're put off by that, right? They don't want to keep being sold things in that manner. But so I think that Hollywood studios or any company that's trying to promote their product through social media stars, they have this dilemma, right? Maybe it's choosing the right star, not just for their following, but also for the product that they're actually promoting.
Right.
Like if you're going to put camping gear in with makeup, probably not going to work so well.
Exactly.
That's right.
I don't know. I think sometimes when you're doing it even yourself, okay, you're going to put something up on your Facebook wall. I think sometimes just to be forward, authentic, honest, just say, okay, I am really excited about this. I am truly excited about this. If you don't believe me, meet me in person or whatever. And I'm going to tell you about something I just found and I really like it and I want you to get it as well.
Yeah, and the term that Zach King uses here is he says it has to be a natural fit with the persona of the creator.
Mm.
And I think that's important to remember. Basically what we mean there is it has to be something that the persona or personality of this online person, that sounds kind of strange, right? But that's the right English. The personality of this online person, it has to fit with that personality. So if it sounds like they're, you know, making an advertisement for something they're not interested in at all, then it becomes less authentic. But at the same time, you know, I'm a big fan of podcasts, which are, you know, like MP3 versions of radio programs.
Mm-hmm.
And podcasts in recent years have started having more and more ads that have nothing to do with the podcast. Mm. But the podcast audience seems to be very forgiving of that because the ads are clearly ads. So in the podcast, the podcaster will say, like, now let's take a break and listen to a message from our sponsor. And they'll sort of say the thing, and people, I think, tend to keep listening to it because there is sort of a feeling that you have to pay to get the content somehow. Mm-hmm. So as long as the person is kind of honest about that and authentic about it, I think people are fairly forgiving about it. It's just when, you know, they sort of slide it in, like, say, you know, like, oh, I watched this new Disney movie and it was fantastic, you know, and then you're like, that doesn't fit with what we're talking about at all.
Right.
Yeah, I think, like, the whole, this business model, and we said before, it's a nascent business model because it's both the company or the brand that wants to work with the social media stars. They're trying to find that middle ground where they can benefit both parties.
Right.
So I think it's not always a bad thing to try to promote a brand with a social media star, because it does challenge them to create new content revolving around that product. We start to see more and more of that on YouTube. Like, they try to sneakily base their episode around this product to make it feel more natural.
Mm.
And I think if it works out, it does benefit both parties. Because for YouTube, like, as a content creator myself, it is hard to think of interesting things to talk about or to build around. So sometimes when we receive a product from others, it does give us more ideas to, like, what kind of episode can we come up with next week?
Right.
And then it gives us time to think.
Right. So that is something that the social media stars need to work on, right?
Yes.
They need to cultivate that and create that authenticity. And I think in a lot of cases, they've created the authenticity by having that amount of followers, but it's keeping that authenticity when they get tempted to promote certain products. And like you said, the creativity to do it in a way that will still make people want to watch it, right? Well, we've learned a lot over these last few days about this new trend, what I would call in marketing, of how the use of social media stars is being used by Hollywood studios. I know Hollywood studios are not exempt from this. There are other companies that are using this form of marketing. And so hopefully you've learned a little bit more about it. Now you can also see in our topic talks in the QR code at the top of page 28, where we have a few more features for you to learn about this topic. So make sure you check that out and join us for our next advanced article here on Advanced Radio. This is Amanda,
Tim,
Lois,
and Simon
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.